Social impact everywhere.
Welcome back, my fellow social impactors, to another episode of the Social Impactors Podcast. Today we have Ron Spewenberg, who is the co-founder and CEO of a business called Hi Mama. Now, Hi Mama is improving learning outcomes for children aged 0 to 5. And as a social purpose business, Hi Mama connects families with the early childhood professionals who serve them using the latest mobile technology. Thousands of childcare professionals use Hi Mama across the globe to involve families in their children's learning and development. So Ron, I want to start this podcast off, like I always do, by saying a big thank you for being with me here today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I want to learn more about Hi Mama. Love what you're doing. It's even cooler that you're in Canada too. So this is another, you know, Canadian social impactor. But the first question I have for you is just kind of to explain in a little bit more depth about who you are, what you do, and why you believe you're a social impactor.
Yeah, so I guess probably the best place to start with that is what we do at Hi Mama and why that creates a social impact in our community and the customers that we serve, our employees, etc. So we are a technology company that serves early childhood education, and we do that across the globe, although most of our customers are in North America. And what we do is we have a technology, it's an app that's used by early childhood educators in the classroom to share information and updates with parents about their children's health and safety and learning and development in childcare and early learning programs. And sort of the best way to describe how it works from the perspective of families is if you are a parent and you drop off your young child at a childcare service in the morning, let's say at 8 o'clock, you drop them off, you go to work, you're at work all day, you've got access to every single piece of information you could possibly imagine at your fingertips. Most of it, not very useful at all. And 5 p.m. is rolling around, you have to go and pick up your child at daycare, and it's been the whole day and you literally have no idea what's happened with them through, you know, the last like 8 hours. And so there's a really big disconnect between the way parents are used to receiving and consuming information and their experience with childcare programs. So we're helping to close the gap with that experience. So that's really what we do. And the reason why we're creating a social impact with this and why we're purpose-driven, you know, I think there's a long answer to that, but really practically, the answer is that childcare and daycare services have been going through a big transformation over the last few decades, in the last few years in particular, from somewhere where you drop off your children to be healthy and safe for the day and keep them busy while you're at work, and then you can pick them up at the end of the day. That's changed, where today we know more and more through Nobel laureate economists, neuroscientists, and many other researchers that learning and development between the ages of 0 and 5 is super, super duper important and foundational to your life as a human being. And we've really underinvested in that as a society. And Hi Mama is helping to bring that to the forefront, both supporting teachers and early childhood educators with that, but also educating parents of the importance of learning and development during those years.
Yeah, I've heard that a couple of times, that the age of 0 to 5 is like the pinnacle of synapse development and everything that's important for childhood and becoming, you know, a functioning adult, things like that. So why don't you think then, as a society, we've invested in it as much before as we should be?
A few reasons. I think probably the biggest one is actually just that understanding how learning and development works at those ages is really complicated and really difficult. So to make that tangible, think about a student who is in grade five and they show up and let's say it's math class and the teacher has a set curriculum set by the school board or whatever. And they go into class and the teacher says, okay, students, you know, today open your textbooks to chapter 5, section 12.3. We'll be studying, you know, whatever, Pythagoras theorem. I don't know. It's very specific and it's very standardized, frankly. Whereas if you've got, let's say, an 18-month-old who doesn't speak and you're trying to, you know, enhance their cognitive development, well, ask any individual, including parents who have 18-month-olds, how they would go about doing that. And most would have no idea. And so because it's so unclear how you improve children's learning and development at that age, I think it's just been something that we haven't really focused on as a society because it's not reading, writing, and arithmetic sort of thing, you know? So I think that's been a pretty big aspect of it. And I also just think a little bit of just tradition, you know, at very young ages, historically, you know, we never really thought about education and learning and development at those ages. And we never understood how important it was to future learning and development. And we're only really starting to learn that now. The big disconnect is we have to get everybody to understand how important it is.
So it's you're leading a movement in a sense.
100% it is. So, you know, anyone who works in early childhood education, of course, knows how foundationally important it is. But, you know, if you're the average person in society, you don't necessarily know. And in fact, you know, it's really the opposite in terms of when you think about how much you invest in your education, you know, going to college and going to university is really expensive. You spend tens of thousands of dollars on that. Mm-hmm. You know, school age programs, our government spend billions and billions of dollars on school age education, but there's very little investment in early childhood education.
Yeah. Huh. Well, that's interesting, honestly. And it kind of dovetails well into this next question. And the next question I have for you is, how are you then making a positive impact in your community with everything that you do and with Hi Mama?
Yeah, so there's a few different ways. So one thing is that early childhood educators as a profession and as a job is extremely under-recognized and undervalued, as largely as a result of the underinvestment in early childhood education. So especially in the US, but even in Canada too, it's wildly underpaid. So a lot of people that are early childhood educators make minimum wage. Lots of them have second jobs, like they're a bartender or a waiter or waitress because they can't afford you know, basic living needs off of their salary. And they're also not recognized as professionals. A lot of people still think of early childhood educators as babysitters and someone who just, you know, make sort of changes their baby's diapers and make sure they're okay for the day. But if you think about or observe an early childhood educator, or if you're a parent and you have a young child, you will know or you would see how difficult it is. And so I use myself as an example sometimes. I have a 2-year-old at home. And if I'm solely responsible for him for the whole day, it is completely exhausting, I have no energy at the end of that. And early childhood educators do that every single day, day in and day out. And are responsible for multiple children at a time. And so what are we doing to help support them? The two big things that we're doing, one is we are giving them an app to manage their classroom. And so as a result of doing that, we're sending the message to early childhood educators, hey, you're a professional. We're putting in your hands, literally, on an iPad or a tablet, the ability for you to manage your classroom, your learning and development activities, documenting children's developmental outcomes, and assessing, what is the next challenge for them, and giving you control over that as an early childhood professional. The second thing that we're doing is the app is opening a window for early childhood educators to share with parents all the amazing things that they're doing. And so oftentimes the feedback that we get from early childhood educators is they're getting recognized from parents for all the great work that they're doing. And they're not doing anything different than what they're doing before Hi Mama. It's just that parents are seeing it now. So through sharing photos and videos and stories about the children's learning and development, parents are finally seeing, holy, you guys are doing so many amazing things in the classroom, so many creative activities, using so much of your energy because it's so hard. I can't believe all the amazing things you're doing for my child. Thank you. And they're able to actually send that thank you message right through the app. And so the early childhood educators are getting a tool to feel like a professional, and they're getting recognition from families for all the amazing work that they're doing.
Yeah. So you've built a solution through a platform for them, but then you're kind of enabling not only that industry to grow, but the one thing that you'd said a couple minutes ago, which is true, is that early childhood educators is not seen as a job, unfortunately. But what you're doing is you're showing, yes, it is. You're kind of giving it that precedent that this is something that's super important, not only as a job, but for the development of every future adult.
Yeah, entirely. And, just to go back to the, grade five math example, they don't have the luxury of, having textbooks and set curriculums and standards. They have to, they're in the classroom every day having to create ideas from scratch and manage a classroom of really young children, oftentimes with a percentage of them with difficult behaviors. This is a really, really hard job, and arguably much more difficult than a school age program, because it is not prescriptive at all, and you have so many hats you have to wear as an early childhood educator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly, and so I want to jump into the next question, because this question is more about the business side of social impact. But I know that, Hi Mama is, I think you have something like 10,000 App Store reviews, and they're all incredibly, five star. And then you're a top employer on Glassdoor, and you're a B Corp, which is awesome. So this question is going to be pretty rhetorical, but I want to ask it anyways. And the question is, do you believe social impact is an important part of business?
Yeah, I think it's a fundamental part of a business, and especially in 2019. So I really had a feeling about this, many years ago. But when I went to business school and I studied business further, it really locked in my viewpoint that there is an alternative to our standard system in Western society of capitalism. And not only an alternative, but possibly a more optimal system for business. And that is for businesses to have a purpose and have social responsibility that is not something that they check a box on, like corporate social responsibility, but something that's more part of their DNA. And the reason why I came to that conclusion was we looked at a number of case studies of different companies and different CEOs and leaders as well. And those that were most successful did have some genuine purpose-driven mission and made real decisions based on that social purpose. And alternatively, you see businesses struggling that, don't have that mission-driven mentality. So, I'll give a couple examples. Volkswagen, many people will know, had a really big scandal where they purposely evaded emissions testing. And this was a decision that was made right up to the top. Had they been a social purpose business, a mission-driven business, you know, they would have made a decision that was best for the community, community being all the people that are breathing in the emissions from their vehicles, the environment they would have considered, and also their workers, their employees. Think about all the people that worked on those vehicles with their own two hands, putting together a machine that they thought was helping the environment, which was actually damaging the environment. Think about how they felt when this all came out, that they were part of something very unethical. That has a huge hit on your brand. And you know what? If I'm invested in Volkswagen and the only thing I care about is return on my investment or my money, I'm going to be really disappointed because my stock price just went through the floor and my brand is damaged, and that's going to take years or decades to repair. And so that's one example. A more recent one in the news is WeWork, and you know, that company being so overvalued and a lot of questions on the founder and the CEO, who's no longer there, about, you know, was the pitch on that company ethical? And again, like the employees and the customers, the communities who are part of WeWork and use WeWork are all going to suffer as a result. And so again, had they had a social mission driving their decisions, because governance is part of this too, they would have been better off. So part of you know, why I think having a social purpose is important for business is from a risk management perspective. I truly believe you make the best decisions when you consider all stakeholders beyond just your shareholders. And I think we're starting to see some momentum behind that now.
Yeah, no, I I love this conversation because there's actual proof now through data that shows that, I'll bring up a study too. Unilever did a giant census of all of their companies and that they own, their portfolio companies. They put some companies in traditional columns, some in non-traditional columns. And what they found when they did this study just on profit alone was that sustainable companies were 40% more profitable across the board. Like, this is real data that shows that they not only make more money, they are more risk adverse and they can weather, you know, volatility, things like that. It's a better business practice.
Yeah. And the other aspect of this that I think is really important, and, you know, you mentioned High Mama's Glassdoor reviews, is people, right? You know, and that's both employees, people that want to work for your company, which increasingly are of a different generation than the people leading the companies. And, you know, as millennials, as an example, they want to work for companies that have a real purpose and a genuine purpose. And that's the other thing too. You know, a lot of companies say certain things, but you have to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. And, you know, as part of that, we're in the social media era. And, you know, if you're not genuine as a company and as a brand, you can get burned pretty hard and pretty fast through social media, both through your employees and through your customers. And so I think in today's digital and social world, you know, we have to be very genuine about what we do as leaders and as companies.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. It's walking the talk. It is. So the last question I have for you is, what is your advice then for other people to begin building their own impact?
Yeah, I mean, there's kind of like two angles to it in my mind. One is the very logical and rational perspective, which is, you know, to your point, data says that being purpose-driven means your odds of being more successful as a business are higher. therefore I'm going to go that path. So if you're very logically driven person, that's maybe the right way to think about it, is this is just, you know, the best way to go because that's what the numbers say. The other thing, which is the other path, which is a little bit more what drove me and a lot of others who have social purpose businesses, is it just comes from within, and it feels like the right thing to do, you know, and that's hard to explain, but, you know, I never felt that having shareholders as being the only, you know, stakeholder that you're working for and working towards, made sense, to the, you know, cause sometimes you end up in very black and white decisions where, you know, let's say Volkswagen, again, not to pick on them, but, you know, they probably did an analysis that said, we think the probability of us getting caught is this percent, and the return to shareholders is higher if we evade emissions testing. So, you know, I think there should be an aspect of feeling like it is the right thing to do, you know, regardless of what the numbers say, because, you know, we know climate change is real. We know employees want to work for companies with purpose. And, you know, what's the point of our short and fragile lives on this earth if, you know, we're not doing good? Honestly, like, what, you know, what's the end game? What are we working towards? And, you know, I hope as a society and as human beings, we want to make the world a better place. And I fundamentally believe that and hope that, and that's what drives me. So regardless of what perspective you take, the logical perspective or the more heartfelt perspective, it's the right way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I think that's a perfect way to end this podcast session together, is that if you're not making an impact, why does it matter? Because you really should. But I wanted to just finish this podcast by saying, you know, Ron, thank you for being with me here today. Thanks for bringing a unique perspective and also shining a light on the importance of early childhood educating and really what you're doing. And again, just a big thanks for being with me here today.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me, Avery.